Now let us turn back to Psalm 127. It says here it is a Psalm of Solomon, but it is not just a Psalm of Solomon, it is also the Word of God. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. See the picture here. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. What a picture. And then Psalm 128, verses 3 to 4. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Even more striking, isn't it? The man who fears the Lord shall be blessed with a wife like a fruitful bundle of grapes. Have you eaten grapes lately? How many grapes are there in a bundle? And the children are like olives. Have you seen a photograph of an olive tree? There have been a number of requests to address our young people on the subject of dating and courtship. Over the past few years, the senior Sunday school class have teachings on dating, courtship, Christian manhood and womanhood, marriage, husband and wife, relationship, a number of times. In the year 2009, there was a series of sermons given especially to teenagers. And I feel rather unqualified to speak to you on the subject of courtship or dating and courtship, for the simple reason that I've only dated one girl in my life. I got very limited experience in this matter. Some of you got more experience in this. And I got no exciting stories to tell. As a matter of fact, I have not even made a single marriage proposal to anyone. Well, but I got married. I have children. Don't ask Alan, how did you get married without a marriage proposal? You don't need that. I cannot counsel you with my own experience or qualification. I can tell you what the Bible teaches. I don't know whether the Bible teaches you will accept or not. I hope you will, that you will listen to what the Bible says. I recall back to my university Christian fellowship days. Every now and then we would like to invite a speaker to speak on BGR. I thought for a long time that was English, but I guess native English people don't know what is BGR, isn't it? Do you know BGR? Yes or no? Not really. Well, it's Asian English. It stands for boy-girl relationship. And because we Asian students did not know much English, we didn't know the big word like dating or courtship, we just translate from Chinese. It's a boy, it's a girl, their relationship. So it's called BGR. We got a very godly and profound biblical thinker in the person of Dr. Norwich. Whenever he talked about BGR, he would talk about marriage and family and being parents. And we were, to say the least, some of us, a little annoyed. We felt he was not answering the question. We're not interested about marriage, far less about family. Oh no, we don't want kids. We want you to talk about dating, at the most courtship. But you know, friends, what Dr. Weeks was doing what the Bible does. Let me say this at the beginning. The Bible does not address the matters of dating and courtship directly. If any one of you can find a Bible passage which talks about dating and courtship directly, tell me, and I will study that passage. There is not, I dare say, a single passage in the Bible about dating, especially. But having said that, the Bible does say a lot about marriage and family and husband and wife relationship. This morning, I want to lay down three principles about dating and courtship. It's a humble attempt. I hope you will listen. The first principle about dating is this. When you are thinking of dating, think of marriage and family. Think dating, think marriage and family. Dating just for the fun or intimacy is plain wrong. Don't go for dating just for the fun of it. Certainly not for the physical intimacy. Dating for those reasons is a recipe for sexual immorality in whatever form and to whatever degree. I don't want to be explicit, I don't have to. But there are forms and degrees of impurities. You just go for dating for the fun of it, you are going in that direction. In dating, you are seeking a wife, a husband, someone who by God's grace will build a family together with you. There's no guarantee that any marriage will produce children. It is by God's gift. It's not to be taken for granted. But in dating, you're looking for a lifelong partner. Not just for a girl or boy, for a while. I remember back in my uni days again, many years ago, I lived in a boys' college. That is a recipe for disasters. I won't tell you what disasters, but I knew of a senior student who was a diligent student. He studied hard for exam, but after exam, he looked for some relaxation. He got out his phone book, well, not electronic in those days, and he goes through the list of girls he got in his contact list, and he said, which one I'm going to date for tonight? He always got a girl. He was tall, slim, good-looking, handsome, got hair up to the shoulder. It was cool in those days. Got a brand new car. was very rich. He was a senior medicine student. Girls were flocking to him. He just had to choose one at a time. Well, maybe he chose two at a time, I don't know. Now that is sinful. That is wrong. Well, he dated many girls, all of them very beautiful. I'm glad to tell you that very soon he was captured by a not so beautiful girl, and he couldn't struggle himself free anymore. That's good. That is what it's meant to be. So first principle about dating, think marriage and family. Second principle on dating. I put it mildly here. I say here, it is okay to marry young. Look at Psalm 127 here. It says of children of one's youth. Children of one's youth. And you are full of such children. You got many children when you were young. So surely the person here must have married young. I put it so mildly here that it is okay to marry young. I think to be fully biblical, I should say it is good. It is good. It is advisable to marry young. Mary, the mother of our Lord, bore our Lord at the age of most likely about 14 or 15. Girls started to marry at the age of 12 in those days. Certainly by the age of 16 or 17, almost all of them got married and had children. Does that shock you? Does that come as a surprise to you? Do you think this morning, oh no, that is primitive. That is not 21st century. I don't want our minister talking about that. I'm sorry, that is not my opinion. Hudson Taylor dated his first wife, Maria, when she was underage. And that cause she was bitterly opposed by Maria's guardian. She was a single older lady. And Hudson Taylor dyed his hair black, wore a pigtail, dressed like Chinese in Shanghai in 1850. And that was a disgrace to the British Empire. This is an outrageous young man. I don't want her to date Maria, who is under my care. Maria has to wait until she attained legal age to get married, and she married Hudson Taylor. But they were mature enough to marry, to have children, to take responsibility. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, most likely one of the greatest preachers in world history, he married at the age of 21. Now, isn't it amazing that young people in days gone by were so mature and ready to get married, to have children at the age of 17, 18, 19, 20, 21? We are living now in a difficult culture. People are getting married later and later in life, when physically they are maturing earlier and earlier in life. And also young people are dating earlier and earlier in life. I got the Marriage Act 1961 here. I don't know about the situation before 1961, but from 1961 to 1991, the marriageable age in Australia was 18 for boys, 16 for girls. And in those days, girls 14 years old and older could get married with parents' consent and the court's permission. It was then. Now, I got the impression that the marriageable age in Britain was 21. Am I right? 21, yeah. In Hong Kong was 21. I don't know about the situation now. Anyway, it's not so much the law, but the reality. We have our children and young people entering puberty very early in life, and they started to have girlfriends and boyfriends very early, and they get married very late. That creates a lot of temptation and frustration. I remember reading one of our children's school yearbook, and there was a page of a boy about his history. Very interesting. Year 6, dating this girl. Year 7, another girl. Year 8, another girl. Year 9, another girl. Year 11, another girl. And that was in a Christian school. Well, I shouldn't say it's interesting. It is actually, well, sad. It should not be like that. I say, from the authority of God's word, it is okay. It is even good to marry young. But I need to say this to you. It is not good. It is bad to date too early. You got the distinction? Ideally speaking, the period between dating and courtship should not be too long. Don't ask me how long. I'm not a Pharisee. I hope I'm not. Sometimes I may be. But I don't want to be a Pharisee. There's no rule to say that you must date for 2 years before you can get married. No. But between dating and marriage, hopefully, should not be too long. We have known couples who dated for many, many years and delayed marriage for all sorts of reasons, only to end up in a breakup. You don't want to have too many breakups in your life. If you are not ready for marriage, my dear children and young people, don't date. I say it again, if you are not ready to get married, don't date. Wait until you are ready. You say, I'm ready now to get married and raise children. Go for it. Pray for it. But you say, oh no, not getting married now. Not getting married in a year's time or 2 years' time. Oh no, 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 no kids, no kids. Well, it's not for you, David. Go and read Aristotle instead. Don't get it. principle on dating. When you're dating, set your minds on family and children. You notice here, it is a blessing to have many children. In Psalm 127, the man who marries young and got many children are like a warrior having many arrows in his quiver. Imagine you were an ancient warrior. You went out to war. In your quiver, you only got one arrow. Not ideal. You got many arrows. Well, it's a picture of victory. 128 verses 3 to 4 again. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Children like bundles of grapes, as many as olives on the tree. Now you ladies are going to say to me, Pastor, I don't like you. I don't want to have so many children like having bundles of grapes. I don't blame you, friends, whether you're men or women, because our culture sees children as hindrance to our career and pleasure. But the Bible sees children as blessings from God. Our culture sees many children as unbearable burdens. The Bible sees many children as an extension of God's kingdom. Many years ago, I remember watching in amazement a minister of our church taking his whole family to church to the evening service at St. Giles, Hurstfield, to hear Ian Murray. And this man got about 12 to 13 children from England. And all the children sat so nicely. I know the eldest boy. He was such a man of God. He defended the Bible way back in junior high school in England against liberal Bible teachers. In university, the only mark he got is high distinction. He got 2 medals when he graduated. Became one of our ministers. He served as a chaplain in Iraq. I was surprised. I said, so-and-so is such a gentleman. Oh, I didn't know he was also a military man. But he was both. A Hebrew scholar, a chaplain in Iraq serving at least 2 terms, a mighty preacher, and he got another 10, 11, or 12 of them in the family. Some of you know the Dr. Charles Child, who just passed away at the age of, is it 95, 96? Something like that. And again, he got about, I lost count how many children. And I remember one of his daughters-in-law said, when I observed my mother-in-law, she was such a gentle, godly soul. Never scolded father-in-law. Always serving. Always so gentle and kind. And I guess she got the message. Well, if my mother-in-law is like that, I must be like that to my husband. By the way, parents, children learn husband and wife relationship. Not so much from sermons or talks, but from you. From you. Your boys are going to find wives like you. Your daughters are going to find husbands like you. I remember what one Christian lady said when my wife and she were in a same Christian philosophy of Christian womanhood group, and they were talking about all these sort of things and about a wife being submissive. And this girl said, why do you have to talk about that? My mother has always been very submissive to my father. It's just like that, isn't it? Well, just to be told, no. Many homes and families are not like that. So, young people, in dating, if you set your minds on having children, on family, you are setting your relationship on a solid platform. It is a blessing to have many children in the end. I wonder what is your reaction up to this point. What we have said is the ideal: to marry young, to have many kids. But friends, we live in a fallen world. We parents here, we older ones here, as we look back to our own dating and courtship, and even marriage and parenting, have we not been foolish and sinful at times? If we know ourselves and the standards of the Lord, do we not feel that we have fallen far short of God's glory? That's why, friends, Psalm 32, which we considered last week, is so precious. We need God's forgiveness and pardon in our dating, in our courtship, in our marriage, in our family, in our parenting. We need God's forgiveness. We have that in Christ, in His death, in His resurrection. I would like to go on to say this to you. As the Lord Jesus taught His disciples in Matthew 19, singleness is a gift to some believers. Young people here, this is good news to some of you. You don't have to get married. Isn't that wonderful? If you're a girl, you find yourself, you don't like boys at all, that's okay. If you're a boy, you find yourself, you don't like girls, that's okay. You're not being gay. No. It is okay to remain single all through your life. And if you got that gift, that means you don't need to worry about dating or courtship all through your lives. That is liberation, isn't it? Young people, don't let anyone put pressure on you that, oh, you are now 17, 18. Have you got a boyfriend? I got 5 already. Have you got one? Some people, through circumstances of life and the Lord's guidance, I should say, remain single. Paul and Barnabas were single men. Martin Luther married late in life. John Calvin was single most of the time in his life. Henry Martin, primary missionary in India, a brilliant man. He was in love with a girl, but the girl was not willing to marry him. He died single. John Stott, still alive, a Christian leader in our time, has always been a single man. Singleness or single people have certain advantages over the married in the work of God's kingdom. You go home and study 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Single people are free from the care for a wife or husband or children. Single people got a larger disposable income to give to the Lord's work. Single people got more time and energy available. But make sure you single people don't become a busybody or overbearing. And single people can be more devoted to the work of the Lord. Some of you are single now. You got many opportunities to serve God. That is liberty. You don't have to date, you don't have to get married, you don't need to have children at all. And you can be joyful. Let me give you my personal testimony. I was helped at critical points in my life by single, devoted Bible women. My existence and my birth was due to the prayer of a godly, single Christian widow who devoted herself entirely to prayer. The reason I attended church regularly before my teens or as I entered teens was because of a godly, single Christian Bible woman who was a widow. Single people can do so much. The secret for singleness is to learn the art of holy contentment and be useful and available for the work of the Lord. But friends, don't be an overbearing, grumbling bachelor. Be a joyful, generous giver of your time and money to the Lord and His work. Now lastly, heaven with the Lord. You know, friends, sometimes the hymns we sing may not be right according to the Bible. In one of our hymns, 842, O Happy Home, it says, when two in hearts united and death cannot end the union here begun. Years ago, we sang that hymn, and one of our senior ladies told me afterwards, Pastor, that is wrong. Death does end our union here, the marriage union. And she was right. Thank God, people in heaven got better things to do than marriage and family. Jesus says in the resurrection, people are neither married nor given in marriage. They are like the angels in heaven. We shall see the Lord. We shall see Christ as He is. My dear friends, heaven is not so much seeing your loved ones. It is seeing the beloved, even Christ Himself. Let me close with this. There's a home better than any home on earth. There's a husband better than any earthly husband. There's a bride who is more beautiful than any bride on earth. There are the Father and the Son. There are innumerable children of the living God, redeemed from every tribe and tongue and nation and people. Oh, that we may press into the kingdom of God. Oh, that eternal blessed home may be ours. Oh, that our families may be gathered together in the home above. Whether we are single, whether we are married, whether we have children, whether we have none, ultimately, that's not matter. The one thing that matters is that we have the Lord. Shall we? O Lord, our God, we give you praise and thanks for all that you have done for our lives, for our parents, for our families, for our siblings, for our husbands and wives, for our children, for the single people who have helped us in our life. O Lord, we pray that we may be God, we may be beautiful in our thinking, in our dating, in our courtship, in our marriage, in our parenting, even though in ever so many ways we have fallen short of your glory. O Lord, be with us. And we do commend to you our young ones, that they may listen to you, that they may act in a godly way in all that they do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And also I want to say a few words to our young people. That is not all that I want to say to you about courtship. You can give me your response. I think parents are more anxious than the children, the young people in this matter. So email me about your questions, your response. Maybe you say I'm mad at you, Pastor. Tell me why. One more thing. The Bible says clearly, believers are to marry in the Lord. Believers are to marry in the Lord. Believers are to marry in the Lord. And if what we have said just now is right, think dating, think marriage, think family, surely believers are not to date non-Christian. You are a Christian girl, you are a Christian boy, you are God's children. You are not to date non-Christian. Period. Full stop. Sometimes it is very hard not to date non-Christians. I tell you one phenomenon. In Hong Kong and in Singapore as well, I believe it's true, there are many more girls than boys in the church. It's not just in one church, not just in small churches, not just in big churches, but that is the statistics. I don't know whether it's two girls or a boy, or three girls or a boy. That's terrible. I have known Christian girls, because of their commitment to marry in the Lord, that they won't date non-Christian boys, remain single all through their life. My sister is a single girl, well over 40. I won't tell you her age, of course. And I know of another girl in my congregation, in my home church, who was quite pretty, very charming, committed Christian. But she remained single well into her 40s. And she attended two churches. I guess basically because some of the boys in my church were unfaithful. They dated and then married non-Christian girls. And there were already less boys than girls. So a few more drop out, being unfaithful to the Lord. So you got a large pool of girls. What do they do? If they are to be faithful to Christ, they have to be single. And many of them have been faithful and served the Lord. Believers are to marry in the Lord. The Bible is very clear. So only date in the Lord.